to the Auckland studio now. And our comedians today, Tereda and Jodie Rimmer, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Kia ora.
Everyone's in a lovely upbeat mood.
Yeah, we were talking about smashing the patriarchy.
As you do. I'm going to the Guilty Feminist tonight, Catherine in Auckland. I think she's playing tomorrow night in Wellington. And Rada was talking about parenting his child, and they kind of came together beautifully.
Yep. I'm hoping to bring her up with a hammer of righteousness that she will use to smash things. In the meantime, not sweaty. Are you sweaty?
I am a little sweaty. I mean, you know, I'm in my late 40s.
And doesn't really matter what the heat is outside.
It is really hot.
Little engine inside, just creating external moisture. How are you, Catherine? Got a hair dryer?
Summer we're having. Just about getting my cardi out, which apparently we all wear in this organisation.
Oh, I do like a cardi.
I like to keep my heat pump on to the point where I have to put a cardi on at home, which is terrible for the planet, but I just like to be cold. Now, here's the thing. There's a reason for this. I don't know if this story's true. Personally, I don't care, given who it's about. It's going to be true as far as I'm concerned. Mark Zuckerberg, apparently, he off the Facebook fame, reportedly... I love that word, reportedly. That gets people out of a lot of issues. He gets his armpits blow-dried before speeches. He has a penchant for the grey T-shirt, which, as we know, can show the moisture.
Gets a bit sweaty.
And so, apparently, yes, an employee from perhaps the communications department, and you've got to know that is a job, given the sycophants that work there and the people who have bought into that cult. I've seen some of them speak at conferences. They are a disconcerting type of... collectivized individual, they would clamour for the job of being, oh, I'm on the dryer.
Oh my gosh.
That's just too weird. That's even weirder than the person who has to stretch the Queen's shoes for her. There's some things you should just do for yourself.
So this poor person is, well, maybe they're really happy, as Rada says, are drying his armpits before he goes on stage to speak every time. Now, of course, we don't know if this is true, but my feelings, I've got some armpit hacks for him. What he could actually do, instead of using the blow dryer, is sanitary pads in the armpit.
I was going to say, yeah.
So that's a film industry hack. Also, you can now get Botox in the armpit to stop you sweating. But maybe, bearing in mind how much money he has, maybe he could just go straight to it and get his entire armpits removed. So it becomes a surgical solution.
Actually, you could. I was just thinking some hairspray. I don't know if hairspray works, but now I'm thinking maybe I'll just hairspray my armpits. Or follow that, just wear a darker T-shirt.
Yeah, or he could shave his armpits or wax. I mean, all of that hair maybe adds to, you know, the drenching situation. But yeah, I mean, I think he should get his armpits removed.
It gets all the greebies and bacteria out, doesn't it? But hey, I haven't been able to move on since you mentioned the sanitary pads for your arms.
Have you not heard of that?
Wouldn't you look like your 80s shoulder pads had slipped around or something?
Well, you have to keep your arms down, but just bear in mind, you've got your arms down and you're doing your speech and you're keeping them down. You can still do like sort of, you know,
until you lift them up and this pad falls out.
No, but you stick them to your skin.
With some tape.
You stick them to the skin and it totally soaks. Soaks it up, I mean.
Tired old, I was going to say, stage people.
We used to do that on Hercules and Xena. Worked a treat.
I've just had a flashback now to the old, I can't believe I'm going here, but I am.
Go on.
The old strapless bra, you know, the chicken fillets, Jodie.
Oh, yes.
And you've gone out for the evening and you just sit there in fear the whole night that something's going to unravel and all is going to be revealed.
And you go back to sweating because
There you go. You've got your chicken fillets and you've got your sanitary pads on the go and it's just all too hard.
Maybe you could just use the sanitary pads in your bra if that's the sort of look you're going to go for.
It's a lot of work being a woman. I'm just happy if I go out with pants on.
So is everyone else.
Life unlocked.
Yeah,
and given the heat currently, it's not always a given.
Speaking of pants,
go Jodie.
I love this story. The police chief in New Hampshire, in a small town in New Hampshire, took it literally when he was stripped of his duties in a local board meeting, disrobing to his underwear and walking out into a snowstorm. This poor man got stripped of his job. They asked him to hand in his guns, his vest, all of his uniform because they were closing down his very small department of one. And he literally did. He took everything off and left it there and walked out into the snowstorm just in his boots and his undies. But I don't know about you, Rada, but police all over the world are closing down their stripper departments.
He could have masqueraded.
What with the Me Too, movement, it's just not okay to be a police stripper anymore.
You can't have a side, what's it called? A side gig?
A startup?
Something like that. A side hustle, that's it. What I love was and this was quite, again, aspirational. He says, I gave them my uniform shirt, I gave them my turtleneck. I gave them my ballistic vest, and he lists all the things. But what a police department of one. Like, so he's the police chief. I wonder how much admin he did in terms of, like, HR. He had to report on himself. Maybe it was the problem was that he wasn't getting enough policing done because he was just tied up in the bureaucracy of being both sort of master and servant of the police department.
Maybe he was a really bad boss. You know, I mean, you know, who knows why it was shut down. We assume it was budget cost, but we'll never really know. Having said that, I mean, he's not all is lost. He could actually go and start up as a stripper. He's got it down pat.
It's one heck of a protest. It almost tops taking the clown to your dismissal hearing, isn't
it? I did. I met that clown.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. This was the clown from one of the ad agencies, and the guy had to go in for his, you know, face-to-face HR-type meeting and bought a support clown, which is, you know, became a global sort of phenomenon. If he was overseas, he could have bought, like, a tiny pony or a peacock. People have these support animals, and obviously they take them on planes. They need to be comforted. And in the States, it was a first, I believe, a woman took her miniature service horse on the plane. And what I like about this, not only did she have a service horse, she wanted to make this special for the service horse, so she bought two first-class tickets. Spent a fortune, which I always think is a mistake. I always think when you're flying, you never want to start off at the front.
True.
You always want to be economy for as long as you sort of can, because once you go up and then you have to go back, it's a sadness.
Nice. I mean, Brado, I'm actually, I don't know about you, Catherine, but I'm more worried about the pony itself. I mean, does it need a support person or another support animal? I mean, these are the questions that we have to think about.
Actually, you do see this. I attend a lot of horse events, and there's generally a sort of a dishevelled dad or a feisty mum walking around behind a horse with a shovel and a wheelbarrow. Do they need one of those? Are they back in economy?
Is that a support shovel? Or
I don't know. Because does the horse have to wear a tiny...
I know. Well, a nappy or some sort of catcher. Well, no, it stands. I think it just stands there, doesn't it, in front of her? Or when she's got another ticket. So
does
maybe
it get a meal? Can it watch the little in-flight thing? Do they just put on the, like in the little, like a picture of a pasture land?
Does it need a bottle to pop its ears as you're landing, just like a toddler?
Does it, because what happens if it starts to get like an ear? I hadn't thought of
the ear. That's right.
Well, they do yawn.
And the other thing is that flight attendants have actually been hurt by support animals on planes. You know, you can have a pig, a rabbit, a miniature pony.
I think I've seen a peacock.
Exactly. And, you know, this is not safe for flight attendants. You know, you come, what about a chicken, having a support chicken? This is stuff I've read about. This is actually factual. You know, you come to work, you think you're going to have a safe day, and next thing you know it, you're falling over chicken. I mean, how foul is that?
Do you need support animals to comfort you from the support animals of other people's
support animals?
Like, I've got nothing wrong with people needing a support animal. I just think they're drawing a line as to what can go on planes. I want to be one of those kind of rich Arab types with the like a falcon. I want to take my falcon on a plane.
Yes, nice. Speaking of planes, what about this story about a snake orgy? Snakes are taking over a park.
You should have.
Sorry, Ray, are you
sorry.
Okay?
I was just some of our more delicate listeners. I was just sort of feeling for their sudden palpitations.
Well, snakes have sex too. Exactly. Do they?
I don't know.
And at the moment, they're having a lot of sex in a park in Florida, and a section of the park has been closed off, Catherine, because of this happening. And this is like, there's a lot of snakes mating, making love, making little snake babies, which is lovely. And luckily, most of these snakes, it sounds like, aren't poisonous, but wow, what a sight to come across.
It was the closed off bit where they said, yeah, we've closed it off, but they went, we just put up some tape and a tiny sign. Like, I don't know if the sign faced the snakes that said, please don't leave the mating area, or it faced the people and went caution. No one reads signs,
but,
you know.
I mean, is this a safe place for snakes? I mean, hopefully it's consensual. And do we need something more formal for them? A safe place that they can't be stared at by humans, or do they like being watched by humans?
These are all the questions.
But you've got to watch them quite closely, because while they're thinking they're not poisonous, they're also, some people said, well, I saw one of those kind of moccasin snakes, which are super deadly, and they look quite similar to the other snakes. And they said, you've got to pay special attention to them, particularly their eyes and their behaviour. Like, hang on, well, their eyes are quite wide and they appear to be cuddling. I don't know whose behaviour that is. Is that the poisonous one or the not poisonous one?
Well, I'm still confused about how snakes actually do it. I don't really want to think about it too much because I actually have a snake phobia. Once I saw one in Florida, where this story takes place, and I nearly had a heart attack.
Well, you won't be going googling then. I'm still recovering. We've only got a minute left. I told my crew about this morning. Still recovering from this wetter-like invader of my sleep last night. Like, quite literally, this is how muggy it is even in Wellington. This thing that kind of looked like a wetter but wasn't came into the bedroom and just made itself at home. And I was asleep and I was sort of fending it off all night. It was
like made itself at home where? On your face or bed?
Everywhere. Then it ended up in my bed this morning. It crawled out from under the pillow. And I finally threw it out of the house about 6 a.m. I know this happens in Auckland all the time, but we're not used to nocturnal creatures coming in and taking over the bed.
No. Well, look, I hope that this doesn't happen again. You could just maybe get some tape and tape your room shut, but then what if it's in the room?
Oh.
Then it's always in the room.
Oh, Catherine. Really sticky legs.
What about the bug?
Good Lord.
Thank you, Radar. On that fine note, farewell to both of you, to Radar and Jodie Rimmer.